Well, hello and good evening, everybody. Welcome to Live Free and Ham. Tonight is the night of scary crap happening everywhere and anywhere with all of the things going on, technical issues and whatnot. I'm surprised we're all here and haven't skipped town and left for dead, as they say. So, well, hey, hope for everybody's doing well there in the chat. We see a few names popping in here. I know it's a little earlier than we usually do it, but glad to see folks jumping in on here. And again, I want to say hello and thanks for hanging out with us over here at Live Free and Ham on our live stream tonight. So, as always, we just kind of want to go through the usual sundry of things. We appreciate all you guys that are hanging out with us and spending time listening to Live Free and Ham. This, as always, is our usual monthly live stream that we like to do. We're going to keep it low key tonight just because I'm sure if you're like us, you just need a very stiff drink and, a lot of relaxation time because it's one of those days for sure. But either way, if you're in the opposite and you're enticed to just do something and be motivated, remember, you can always head over to livefreeandham.com/shop and check out all of our merch. Todd and I are sporting our usual Live Free and Ham caps. Nothing against, no slant against there, Paul, because, just short of his computer catching fire, I think, he's doing pretty well today. You can always check out some of our shirts, our tees, our swag, and you can always pick up stickers and everything else Live Free and Ham. And just, we appreciate anything you purchase in the store because it helps us out and keeps the show running and keeps our focus and doing what we love to do, ham radio. So, the other thing too is that we are launching, if you haven't already, a Patreon for Live Free and Ham. So if you really love us that much and you want to get behind the scenes stuff, you want to, hear all of our bloopers, all of our B-roll, all of the stuff that goes on uncut, you can head over to our website at livefreeandham.com/Patreon, become a member. You'll get access to our episodes before they actually go live. You'll get to see both the audio podcast and all of our video for our YouTube channel before everybody else does. So you can be in the know and be the cool guy, like all the rest of us are, or not.
And knowing is half the battle.
Exactly. Totally true. Well, so with that, everything going on, Paul, how are you guys doing wise? I mean, we've talked a bit, but Paul, what's been going on with your ham radio week or day or hour by hour?
Well, so my ham radio week has been filled with nothing but frustration and banging my head against the wall as I learn all about computers and how to build computers and all of these things that, is really very beyond my knowledge and skill set. I've had three towers. They were, desktop computers that Eric gave me well over a year ago to upgrade the Shack computer and build a computer out of it. And, it didn't end up very high on the priority list until I'm trying to edit my my first soda video, and I can't get any of the video to load because my hard drive is full and my external storages aren't working right. It was just a big headache. But so, long story short, right? I parted out the towers. I put all the parts that I wanted to use that were good into one unit. Mm-hmm. The motherboard that I originally used was giving me constant blue screens. So I swapped out the motherboard. Actually, I had my son. It was a good project for him. I had him swap out the motherboard for me today. And finally got Windows installed, and I got it up and running. And it's great that it's up and running. However, I need a GPU. Because it only has like one monitor output port that built into the motherboard and got three monitors, so I need that plus I need the processing for the video and the graphics and all of that, and so eventually we'll get there. But for the time being, at least I get the Shack radio computer on a terabit hard drive as opposed to a 250 gig. So at least now I've got some storage.
Wonderful. Dude, you're just two screws short of a PC shop.
Oh, literally, like, it's just computer parts stretched across the whole room back here.
Cool. Well, glad, you know, you're making progress, although I'm sure you feel like you're going backwards a lot of times, I'm sure. But either way, good on that. And, you know, hey, as long as you get one step closer to getting that GPU, you'll be able to, you know, get with the big boys, as they say. And then at that point, the pond is so big, you feel like you're a small little minnow. Cool. All right. Well, with that, you know, Todd, how has your day or ham radio week been?
Well, I was all set to do POTA this afternoon for my lunch break, and I still work with morons. So I had to get recertified on a test, or to do an assessment. And so I go on the website, do everything, and yep, there it is. You know, do this assessment. I do it. I submit it. Guy goes, "Oh, you did the wrong one." I was like, "What? It's the only one that was there." Guy's like, "Oh, you got to do the one that says JJ on it." So I said, "Hey, I already did that one last year." He goes, "Yeah, you got to do that one again." All right, thanks for telling me that. So I had to do it again, take another test, pass that one. And then everyone in my office was doing the same thing I did. So they all had to do it over again. Then none of them could pass it. So I spent the day just taking tests for everyone, reading vignettes, and then taking the test and making my whole office be able to pass or help them pass. They didn't, I wouldn't say that everyone was helping everyone, but it was just like a nightmare. So it killed my whole POTA lunch thing. And I went into work early too, because I said, all right, if I get in early, I could leave early. I could maybe do it in the afternoon, you know, maybe do an hour and a half, whatever. Yeah, it didn't work out. But on a positive note, it's been awesome on the repeater in the morning on my drive to work, because I've been talking to N1COW Christian, W1WRA Bill, and was it KC1TLY Ralph, pretty much every morning. So it's pretty awesome. They're on the repeater in the morning. Normally Ralph and Bill are up real early. Like when I wake up, I can hear him talking on the repeater. So it's been cool talking to them, catching up with them. Bill told me, W1WRA, that he got a Flex, his new Flex. What is it? The 8400. And
I think he got an 86, but yeah.
Or 8600. Yeah. 8600. And his Flex, I think he said, was number 124. And the first batch of them, the crew at Flex signed the Flex radios, you know, in like marker or something. So he didn't think he had one until he lifted it up and he looked underneath it, and it had all signatures from like the Flex team or whoever built it on his radio. So I told him, I said, that's kind of a cool radio to have.
Yeah, the signature series lines are kind of like a cool little, like, you know, it's gimmicky for me, but at the same time, it's like, it's, you know, it's a limited edition. You can kind of ask a little bit more for it when they come out with the 9700 series, whatever that is.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, so we talked a little bit about that and stuff, but it's always good to talk. I mean, I don't get to see Bill that often anymore, and it's always fun to talk to him, and he's a world of knowledge. And Christian, you know, he's always traveling, so we always talk about POTA and his adventures of where he's going. And so I guess he's saying his wife today was doing something. I think she's in the theater.
Yeah,
and and they're doing a production. So he drops her off, then he runs over to Bear Brook. And he goes, "Yeah, tonight," he goes, "I'm gonna do one, you know, before 8 o'clock, and then after 8 o'clock I'll get the regular shift and the night shift in." So I said, "All right, man, good luck."
Sweet.
Yeah. So hopefully tomorrow I'm pretty busy. Like, my schedule's pretty busy at work, so I don't know if I'm gonna be able to get it, but I got my bag in the car and I'm ready to go. So if I get the opportunity, it's gonna be beautiful tomorrow too. It's gonna be what?
Is it?
Yeah, it's going to be like 78 or something.
Good.
So I'm like, oh. But, and the other thing I heard, I was reading, because since I couldn't do POTA and I was stuck doing these stupid tests, there's going to be another solar flare. So this weekend, it looks like we're going to be shit out of luck.
Well, you know, if you get screwed one way, you get screwed on the going out too. So, you know, equal opportunity.
But yeah, I haven't... I did all my POTA logs. Like, I submit them into the into the database, right? But I haven't, I've been kind of slacking, and I didn't realize how much, but I haven't added to my Poda logs to my main log since April. And I went through and put them all in a folder so I can, you know, move them into the log. I can't believe how many Poda activations I've done since. I think I did like 19 or something, something crazy. I was like, holy crap, look at all these.
Yep.
So you, dude. Yeah, cool. It's like you do one at a time, or you don't think you're doing a lot. But when you when I was looking for them, I was like, all right, I wrote the list down of all the ones that I need. I was like, wow, look at all these freaking parks I did. A lot of them were done when I was in North Carolina when I was on vacation, because I did it every day.
Right. Well, it just makes you long for those days again, because you're just dealing mm-hmm. with all the crap, and you're like, damn it, I want a Poda. That's all I want.
I know. That's all I wanted to do today, really. I'd gone in early too, because I was like, all right, I'm gonna skip the we do the breakfast, you know, in the. On Wednesday mornings, and I could have gone to that. And I said, you know, I'm going to skip that. I'm going to get to work, get the stuff I need to get done, and then I'm going to cruise over, get a pull in, and of course, it didn't work out. So I was bummed.
Well, you know,
it happens. Yeah, that's still okay. But what about you, Eric? What'd you do today?
You know,
your Poda week, or your ham radio week.
I wish it was a Poda week. Trust me, I would love to have a Poda week every day. I sadly was. I talked to AC1RH Keith, and I was talking to him about a different project and stuff like that. Sidebar, and he's like, "I can't commit to that this week. I have to do it next week." I'm like, "Wow, what's going on?" He's like, "This whole entire week, I'm activating his favorite island. He's got like, I can't remember what the name of the island is, but there's an island." That's just somewhere in Mass, you know, on a lake. And the only way you can get to it is when the low tide, you know, schedule is in play, because there's no other way to get to the island. And so he has to like play it when the schedule is just perfect, because it's like only like 3 or 4 days, like maybe in an entire month that he can do it. So he was like, yeah, I got to let you go, because I got to, you know, got to get my kayak and head out. I'm like, you are doing that island again, aren't you? And he's like, yeah. Like,
well, he was the first one to do that park. And not only did he do it, he got a kilo on it, and then he got like an award for it.
Oh, did he?
Like, yeah, he got like an award for like activating the first guy to act. Some guy, like whoever runs the Islands on the Air, like that mm-hmm. organization, sent him like an award that he was like the first one to go to that island and activate it and stuff. Yeah, you should talk to him. It's kind of cool.
Eagle Island. That's what it
yeah.
is. He's done it. He's still working on his activation for it. But I guess it's a very tough island to get to. So,
oh, is this different? Is this different than the one he was doing in the Merrimack?
Yeah. Yeah. That's this Eagle Island is kind of his favorite place to go to, because it's like so remote. It's sort of like, if you've ever been like Winnipesaukee and they have like those small little islands that you can only get to by boat. Well, add the fact that you can only get to them by kayak, and on top of it, on certain conditions, because it's so like shallow that you only can, you know,
yeah,
you have to have shallow tides to come in. But yeah, it's kind of crazy. And so yeah, so he was talking about that, and that kind of like spurred me on. And I was like, all right, I'm going Wednesday, which is today, to go out and do a Poda. I've got to do a couple other videos. I've got to wrap up, because I've been a slacker on my channel, and I apologize to everybody else, you know, who's been waiting for me to put a freaking video. And like, I've got like 5 videos in the queue, and like Shane says, I'll get to it in 6 to 9 months. You know, I'm hopefully not on that schedule, maybe 6 to 9 weeks, but you know, I'm getting them done. I'm getting out there. So, you know, be patient with the content. But all that said, I was going out and record and finish up one last part of my video. And it was raining this morning, and I was like, oh, this is going to suck. And so I went to the breakfast this morning for the club, and I actually had some really good conversations, talked to a lot of good folks, and I heard you on the repeater this morning, and I was like, oh, I got to chime in. And you're like, no, I got to go. And I'm like, wow, I'm one of those people now. Like, I'm always just missing the drive crowd.
I didn't hear you, though.
No, I didn't put anything up.
Oh, you didn't?
I heard you and Bill saying, you know, hey, I got to go. And you were getting to your destination, and Bill's like, oh, I'm almost there. I was like, yeah, I'm not going to put my call out there. I don't want to be like, you know, the, oh, we just want to make sure you're there type guy. You know, we know we heard you. You know, so I was like, whatever. And so, Ralph and I kind of chit-chatted, and we had a lot of good conversations. So that kind of started my day off good, and I thought it was great. And then I just, you know, I had a lot of shitty clients today, so not happy. And all that being said, I was glad to do the live stream. And just like Paul, I'm technical difficulties all around. I don't know like what is wrong with today, but everything was just, you know, dying, falling left and right, and couldn't, you know, get things going. So I had to do a little, you know, reset dance a little bit here and there. And once I finally got that all squared away, you know, we're at least seeing myself. As you can tell, I don't have my background. You are seeing the original. This is the Fife Day, like Casa de Fife in the background. So, you know, I, at this point, we'll figure it all out. So, yeah, outside of that, you know, hey, you win some, you lose some.
I did a couple weeks ago, I finished my logo. So,
oh, yeah, dude, that's cool. Good.
I have to, okay. I don't have it on my computer. I just have it on my phone. I was going to try to email it to myself. Maybe I can figure out how to put it on there. This probably won't be my final logo of all time, but it's going to be good for now. It was fun learning how to use, what's that app that I was using?
Canva.
Canva. Yeah.
Cool. So, well, we're finally happy to hear that you're building a logo. So now maybe we might get one video from Todd eventually, you know, maybe a hello video, you know, you never know.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's, we'll see. I, you know, you guys talk about, I hear you like talking about, oh, I got to edit this and that. Like I get home from work and like in the morning, I am like so motivated. Like I am like up, showered, ready to go dress. It's like 7 o'clock. I'm ready for the day. And by the time I get home, like, I don't want to do anything. Like, I don't want to turn on my computer. I don't want to go look at my ham radio. I don't want to do, my brain, like, it's just terrible. And it really upsets me because I really would love to come home and be like, all right, now I'm going to do this. I can edit stuff. But like, it's the last thing I want to do. I've been sitting at a computer all day, you know, staring or taking phone calls or running around trying to put out fires. And then I'm like, do I really want to go home and edit? So that's going to be my problem. When am I going to have time to edit and make videos?
Just give us the raw.
You got to make the time.
Yeah. Easy for you to say. And then I got my Zach is getting into the RC stuff and the quads and stuff. So it's, I got to keep all that crap and get all that stuff up to date, which is all updating and, found I did do an experiment yesterday at the field. I went to the field. It was our last Tuesday night, and I had batteries that were like 5 years old, LiPos, and they were fine, fully charged, full cells, everything. And I bought brand new ones. So I have this plane that I fly. It's one of my favorite ones. And I flew the new battery, and I got 6 minutes and a lot of pop to it, a lot of power. So then I take the old battery, and I get half the power and half the time. I'm like, that battery's gone. I mean, a huge difference, like really a huge difference. I mean, it was pretty noticeable.
Trust me, I know when.
But so a brand new battery, you only got 6 minutes of flight time.
Imagine, yeah, if our radios operated like that, man. How quickly would you have to get contacts down? Like to the, I've only got 6 minutes, well, guys. Come on, make this quick. No chatter.
That's actually a good amount of time. I mean, some of the planes I have, like I have one little. It's a little MiG jet. It's a little micro one, and it runs on a one cell, and it lasts 2.5 minutes.
Like, that's what our eyes would say. That's a good time.
Yeah, but typically you're like 4 or 5 minutes of a flight for the planes. The quads can go longer, but it's just what you. I mean, one guy the other day, the guy came. This guy Zach, and he has a video on RC. He does like him and his buddy have like a like. Real high-end video equipment. They do amazing RC videos. And he had this huge World War II plane. I mean, it was just enormous. I don't know how big it was. It was just huge. And he normally, like, those planes are gas or glow or something. So he has an electric. He had 2 6-cells batteries. So he had a 12-cell running this plane. That's how big it was. And he could fly it for, like, 5 minutes. That's over $200 just in batteries to run it for 5 minutes. I was like, holy crap.
Oh my. Wow.
You got to figure out how to get like a 12 amp hour battery in there.
Car battery. See if you can get that up in the air.
Yeah. But the thing is like, you know, you can, you know, it's like driving a car. You can save gas by, or save battery power by not flying so hard. But when you're flying and doing, you know, if you're flying fast or slow or punching it in and out, it just drains the battery. You know, the more you go, and I fly like, you know, I'll fly nice and slow and do something. All of a sudden I'll see a tree in front of me and I'll have to punch it, you know, and as soon as you punch it, you can see the, on the radio, if it's connected, you can see the voltage just go, just dies. It's like you got a leak in the gas tank.
It's but, like owning an electric car, it's like you just feather the pedal and then you're like, I want to speed around this person. And you go from like 70% down to 3% just trying to pass somebody on the highway.
All right. So now you bring up electric cars. Tuesday was my social day, right? So one of the guys in there, he's got an electric car and we were talking about it and he was telling me how it's like, there's a new Ram pickup truck called the Charger.
Yep.
That has like a built-in, it's electric, but it has a generator that will charge the batteries while, like, I have to go look it up. Yep. But I was telling them how California now wants to charge you for mileage driven, because everyone's driving electric cars, they're not getting the gas tax, and they're proposing like you're going to get charged how many miles you do a year, and they're going to tax you on that. He goes, well, New Hampshire already does that. I'm like, what are you talking about? He goes, my car, they charge me like a little over $100 a year every time I register, just an excise tax because I don't get gas.
Right.
And I was like, oh. So then I asked my buddy at work, and he drives like a hybrid. So he doesn't have to plug it in. It's kind of like, I guess, like a Prius, I would think.
Yeah.
Like, and he doesn't have to pay a tax. But I think if you plug your car in and your car runs on electric only, I think you have to pay this tax. So my question was, and I don't know if there's anyone out there that has one of those e-Jeeps, that is, I call it the Prius mode, the gas mode, and the Tesla mode, that has both. It has a gas tank and a plug-in.
Yeah.
So do you pay the excise tax on that, or do you pay less or more? But they don't advertise that crap like when you're buying the stuff.
Of course not.
That's how they get you. They want to just let you know that, hey, you're plugging into the grid, we're going to pay, make you pay for it.
Right. Well, did you?
There's a little piece of paper at town hall, and it says, if you drive an EV, you have to pay this $100 extra tax. That's where you find out.
Yeah, you won't see that at a dealership.
And super tiny, super tiny. That, you know, people like me who can't see up close can't read. But did you guys know that, or? Is that news to you?
You will never find me in an electric vehicle whatsoever. I'm sorry. I'm going to be gas until I die. Yeah. Like, I get it. I love electric. I deal with batteries when I do ham radio, and I deal with batteries with everything else, but I'm not going to put them in my car. Like, you can tell me how great it is, and I guarantee it's probably good, but I am just, this is where my old man Kaji stuff sets in, and I'm like, this is where I'm going to just dig my heels in, and I'm like, to the day I die, I'm going to be having a combustion engine in the driveway. It might be the only one in the neighborhood, but it will be mine.
If you drive an electric car and you get in an accident, get the hell out of that car immediately. Like, sit in that car.
Would you touch your RC batteries if they exploded? No. You'd let them burn.
And look, those batteries, like, we've done things to those batteries to see what would happen to them, and you cannot put them out. We've done everything. Chemicals, fire extinguishers, dirt, buried it. I mean, we literally built a 2-foot hole and buried it. And it was like, it looked like a volcano. Those things will not go out. And you're basically sitting on those in a Tesla and probably any other electric car.
Yeah, I would. I don't know about my, life with that, but I just don't think I'm ever going to go electric unless, if I can get the range out of it, great. But I won't even buy the Rev. Like, you were talking about the truck, the Ram truck. Shifting gears here. That Ram truck, nice truck, but I like towing. I want 10,000 pounds towing. I don't care about you. I'm not going to get that out of an electric vehicle, even if they add extra motors.
Well, that's what I told him. I said, it sounds great, but like most of the Ford, Lightning? The
Lightning.
People say that you can't tow anything with it. Like, as soon as you tow, you get like 20 miles and that's it. And they said it sucks. And then he told me, like, he said on a charge, he gets like 215 miles. He says if he puts just a utility trailer on the back, he like drops down to like 100. Like, that's just a little utility trailer, like something you bring the garbage to, like to the dump. He says it just kills it. So,
see, I'm a little less old man than you, Eric, but
he's a horse and buggy.
No. Listen, 100%. I will never go electric because it is not logical, rational, or sensible in any financial sense. It is more harmful to the environment, arguably, than gas is, because not only are you dealing with the mining of the minerals, but you're dealing with the child slave labor in the Congo. Ooh. And,
sign me up.
And you know, you know, all of the horrible things that they're doing, and they're mistreating people. But then what are you doing? You're charging it off the grid, right? Which, depending on how your power comes through, it's either nuclear or it's coal or it's hydro or it's whatever, right? Which doesn't necessarily make it green.
Well, you know what? Well, so, it's when I was in California, I was at a Target, and they have Southern California, every parking lot has charging. Like, you go to a parking lot and there's like a charger for four spots. So you could have four Teslas charging at one thing. The biggest problem, though,
running a poll.
what's ironic about it is that they have a diesel generator in the back of the parking lot running those electric chargers, which is like defeats the whole purpose of the idea of my car is electric.
Yeah. Well, you are getting electricity.
Then you're putting massive carbon emissions out in the diesel generator, right, just to charge the freaking. Yeah. It's stupid. None of it makes any sense.
I don't think it all electric is the answer. I think right now the smart thing to do, if you do a lot of driving, is maybe get like the hybrid, where it can, like, when you're just driving around town, you could be electric. And then when you get on the highway or you need to go fast or whatever, you can use, to me, that seems better. Like, a Jeep can get like 500 miles to a tank on the E versions, I think they said. So like, sure. I get like, if I'm lucky, I'll get 300 miles. So if I can get 500 miles, you know, to me, that makes a lot of sense, but it's not solely electric. So, but they need to come up with a different fuel source.
Mike, has that been tested? Are you sure that's been tested? Because I imagine they probably have an RF quiet version. It might cost a little bit more, but you might get an RF quiet one.
What did Doc Brown put in the DeLorean?
The garbage.
Yeah, well, that was like Mr. Fusion. That was the Mr. Fusion.
That was the Mr. Yeah. Fusion. Yeah.
That was the flux capacitor 2.0.
I love the one where he puts like the banana peels and shit in it.
Totally. Yeah. Well, funny. So we apologize for boring folks if they came here for ham radio content, because tonight, you know, we are talking about how ham radio can be scary, because, you know, if you have an electric car, you can't run ham radio.
Well, let me tell you this too. I leave my ham radio on in the car when I go to the field, and I just turn it on. I got Epsom and Bedford going, and you know, if I'm there at 7 o'clock or whatever, you know, the net goes on. It's awesome because everyone asks me about it. It gives me the opportunity to spread the word. Yeah, it's awesome. Oh, you're on that net. Oh yeah, that's a net. Oh, is that a CB? No, that's a ham radio. Way better than CB.
Praise Percy.
You need a license for that.
Percy Hiram. Praise Percy Hiram.
But, you know, it's good. It's a good way to, you know, especially like in the summertime and stuff, if you leave it in your car and you leave it on, got the windows down, people walk by and hear it, they get curious.
Yeah, they do. They do. So. Cool. Well, the kind of somewhat segues, I don't know how to turn the ship around, but, you know, hey, we'll just go with it anyway, because it's one of those evenings. We're talking a little bit about how ham radio can be scary. Well, you know, this is kind of the holiday eve before Halloween. So, you know, we noticed a few folks posted a comment earlier, you know, what are you guys doing for Halloween? And we can talk a little bit about, you know, that in a bit. So, you know, obviously some folks are going to struggle a little bit with the weather. We've been there. I remember a couple of Halloweens over here where, you know, we were like in the 70 degree weather and it was like 30 mile an hour winds. It's like, how the hell, or, you know, the worst, it was like ice storm, you know, but, yeah. And, you know, Mike has got the right idea. You know, pumpkin beers will not drink themselves. However, Mike, you'll have to drink alone because I do refuse to drink pumpkin beer.
That's so gross.
Yeah. That doesn't do it for me.
Pumpkin beer. We still like you. This is the circle of trust. You know, we will not, you know, push you out of the hole, you know, out of the nest there. But, you know, pumpkin beer, hey, you know, two demerit points for that. We'll just go with that. But anyway, so let's kind of go, you know, talk a little bit about our topic tonight. So, you know, we were kind of reminiscing here and along the Halloween lines, you know, and the scary theme, you know, but we were all going to get dressed up, but, you know, God forbid that we try to throw that into the mix. It would have been a real train wreck. But, you know, we want to talk about, you know, some of our, maybe our activations, our ham radio career. You know, what scary thing kind of happened to you? You know, I've got a bunch of kind of anecdotal stories that I ran into that I haven't told anyone. So, you know, let's frame this as the circle of trust. Nothing leaves here. Nothing enters here without, you know, the love and the caring and, the, you know, whatever. Because, you know, if you didn't know me from Adam, you'd probably be like, what a freaking idiot. And so, you know, we're going to start there. You know, I'll throw in, you know, and if you guys in the chat there have any of, you know, those weird stories of like, you know, reversing your battery cables or almost at the point of setting your radio on fire or, you know, holding the antenna while you're transmitting. And I'll get into that story in a bit. You know, we'll talk a little bit around that. So I guess in this little, you know, therapy session, I can start first if you guys don't have anything, but unless you, yeah, anybody wants to pick one up.
No, you have to start by saying, hello, my name is Eric. Oh, okay. And I'm a ham radio addict.
Okay. Right. So hello, my name is Eric, call sign N1JUR, and I am a ham radio addict. However,
welcome, Eric.
Welcome, Eric.
Please comment in the chat.
Thank you for sharing.
My sponsors here, you know, they'll both help me out. You know, I think one of the interesting stories that growing up, I remember that kind of triggered a thought as I was thinking this through was, I just had gotten my car. And so I was like probably 16, 17. And I was like, I had my ticket already, just a no code tech. And I was like, dude, I got to put my mobile radio in there because I was running HTs forever. And so with that, I was like, okay. Get the mobile rig installed in the truck, get it wired to the battery, get it all hooked up. And instead of installing the antenna on the vehicle, and I remember this fondly because I never knew what everyone talked about what an RF burn might be. I was like, I want to test out this antenna. And so me and my infinite wisdom, I was like, okay, I'll run the coax right to the radio, put it on, like when I bought the 2 meter mobile rig, it was the 1500. So excuse me, it put like 25 watts out. So I cranked it all the way to 25. And I was like, I'm going to hold the antenna whip in my hand just above the roof because it's eventually going to go on the roof and see if I can hit the repeater. I can't tell you how dumb that was, but I'm going to tell you how dumb that was. I literally, as I'm holding the mic in my right hand, holding the whip in my left hand, all the coax running down, I literally keyed up 25 watts through my body. And I was like, holy crap, I flung the antenna literally like 15, you know, feet in the air. The antenna pulled the radio out of the truck and it went fling, you know, everything literally evacuated the truck in like literally 5 minutes. And there wasn't burn marks, but it felt like I had gotten burned. And I was like, what the heck? And then for the next 3 days, if anybody's ever had an RF burn, it tingles. It's like an annoying, like, you know how you bash your elbow and you get the funny bone? It's like that on steroids. It's like constantly like this fluctuating of all of your, you know, veins and, you know, whole sensory system. It just starts to like annoy you to death. And so
did it feel hot? Like when it,
no, it wasn't hot at all. It was like, it wasn't like a stove burn, but it was like, you know, it felt like I was continuing the ground, and I was, because in essence, I was standing on the driveway while I was holding the antenna. And so I completed the circuit, the other half of the antenna. And yeah, lo and behold, it just literally followed me. And I didn't transmit the words, but in essence, when I keyed up the repeater, I definitely knew I keyed up the repeater because I could feel it through the antenna. So yes, I don't know how to finish that statement, say I'm sorry and the penitence and, you know, how many, you know, rosaries I need to say, but
can we make a video of that? Can you reenact that for us?
I did that. That would be like 35 years plus, you know, into my, I was like at 16, 17. So no, I'll never do that again. I know what that feels like.
Well, that can't be good for you. It probably like took a year or so off your life or something.
Maybe we'll see.
It's just mixing the cells around.
Yeah. I'm really stronger in this arm for some reason. I don't know why. Okay. Well, now that I confessed my stupidity, there's got to be something you guys have done. I can't have a whole list of stuff that, you know, you guys can't be perfect. Really? Well, this is going to be one of those That's episodes.
Well, first of all, I'm pretty like, I get nervous around anything. Like, I don't want to touch, like when I do my POTA activations, like I don't want to, even when the radio is, I don't want to touch any of the coax. I don't want to touch the antenna, nothing, because, you know, you hear stories like it could go bad, but then they say, oh, it's only when you're transmitting. Well, why isn't it could be when you're receiving too. Like, I'm not messing with it unless I'm disconnected from the radio. Mm-hmm. So yeah, maybe that's just my paranoia, but no, I haven't had any of those troubles before.
Wow. Well then,
I mean, something's, I guess if you want to say scary, it wasn't really scary is when I did that POTA activation, that late shift, when it was like my first pile up and I was at Silver Lake. It was totally sunny, and I'm out in the this like little field up against this like mountain, and a picnic table.
All right, hold on. You got to frame it the right way. Hi, I'm Todd. Call sign.
Hi, I'm Todd. W1STJ, and I'm a ham radio addict.
Wait a minute, Todd. Paul. Hi, Todd.
Welcome, Todd.
So that was the deal. So I got on there and I finished the activation, and it was probably like 10 o'clock. And I got there early. Like, I was there probably like five or six, and did the pre normal. Then I did the late shift, and that's when it blew up. And I was so into it, and it was over with, and the radio went dead. Eric was not texting me anymore. And, it was just, a complete darkness. And I had no light. Luckily I had my phone, but like literally complete darkness. There was no moon. There was no lights. And I was like, holy crap. Like, I couldn't even see where the antenna was. And it wasn't that far away.
Not that I had to feel it with your coax.
It was scared, but it was kind of like, you know, I'm sitting in here, like something could have come up, like a bear or something. I wouldn't even seen it. So I don't know if that's considered scary or not, but, yeah. What did they say? What did Mike say? I should try a mag loop sometime. Yeah. If you sneeze wrong,
retune it.
Oh, Mike, you should be on here tonight. You could be telling us your story.
Yeah, you could, man. Oh, well, you know, heal up well, man. You got lucky. You dodged a bullet. All right. Well, come on, Paul. You know, in your ham radio life so far, you have not had any like embarrassing, or we'll say, we'll rope it into scary. I wouldn't call it scary, you know. Nothing.
All right. So
no, you got to start off.
Yeah, come on, let's go.
My name is Paul N1OG, and I am a ham radio addict.
Hi, Paul.
So this one time, I believe it was probably about last winter. Now the antenna that I run is a Cobra Ultralight Senior, mm-hmm. and it's ladder line fed, and so. The original setup, I was running a manual tuner, and so I had the ladder line, which is 80 feet. The antenna is 65 feet up, so I had plenty of extra. Mm-hmm. So I ran it in through the window, and I ran it along the ceiling, and I ran it down in behind the computer, and I connected the leads directly to the manual tuner. Because why not, right? I mean, you're running balanced feed line. Why not? It just makes sense to connect it directly to the tuner. Well, I guess through the winter weather and the storms and the wind, the ladder line had gone up and down enough times that it actually broke on one side, and I couldn't figure out for the life of me. I'm running the amplifier in here, and I'm trying to talk to the world, and the SWR starts going crazy. And you know, the room kind of smells like something's burning, and I'm like, ah, there's something wrong here.
But 1500 watts.
yes, 1500 watts into an aluminum window frame is essentially what I was doing.
Metal to metal.
Yeah, so I didn't realize that while the wood window was there, it was wrapped in aluminum, and so the wire had broke, and it was arcing on the aluminum window frame, and so. Yeah, for probably a couple hours, I was putting 1500 watts into the aluminum window frame and just smoking it. Like,
was your house glowing?
No, there's still scorch marks on the window.
Wow, that's crazy.
You're probably so glad that the you know, the argon gas, or if they were, you know, the triple pane windows, that didn't catch fire in the middle of it. If it's flammable. Oh,
trust me. The windows are old enough. There's no gas left in them. Okay. So, but I do want to comment real quick. Just that, you know, my wife is a substance abuse therapist. She's got her master's, she's got her own practice. And, I very much understand, the struggles of substance abuse and addiction. And so I give major props to anybody that is sober and living the sober life and in recovery, because that is a long, hard road. However, I will say, you know, yes, you gotta have a sense of humor about it. You gotta be able to joke about it. And ham radio is one heck of an addiction to have.
Our wives would definitely say we're ham radio addicts. No doubt. Yeah. There's no doubt. If you're running your own podcast, you're over the edge at this point. You need to seek help. The help of other YouTubers who also do ham radio. You know, that's just one more way.
Well, when people find out, like I do, they go, "You do a podcast?" I'm like, they're like, "On what?" And I'm like, especially the kids, I'm like, "Yeah, I'm not a what do they call those guys that are like professional YouTubers?" I'm like, "On ham
influencer.
Radio. Influencer, right? Yeah, I'm not an influencer." I said, "Yeah, I do it on ham radio." And the kids are like, "What's that?" And like the adults like look at me and they like, "There's a market for that?" I'm like, "Actually, there is."
I remember the one episode.
And we're here to make it bigger.
The one live stream we did, and I don't know if everybody caught it when we did the live stream, it was a while back, where your daughter's friend was on there, and she, like, I was just on the border of verging on hitting on every one of us in the podcast. It was like, kind of like, oh my gosh, this is weird and creepy, but at the same time, hey, whatever.
There you go, Mike. Ham-fluencer. I'm a ham-fluencer.
Yes, there we go. Yes. All right. Well, I've got one other story I'm going to throw in here. You know, I actually got a couple, but this one's probably one of my first POTUS.
You can tell who's been doing ham radio longer.
Probably. Yeah. Yeah, I have.
Well, when did you first get licensed, Eric? 90 what?
93. Yeah, 93. So
93.
A while. Yeah. 30 plus years so far doing ham radio. So yeah, I'm the old guy here, even though, you know, Todd's got me by a couple of years age-wise.
Oh, you have to bring that up. Huh?
Yeah,
I did. Well, I wasn't even in middle school yet.
Get out of here. In 93?
No, middle school was 94 to 96 was middle school.
Wow. I was like a junior in college.
Well,
yeah, high school was 96
to 2000. I was just graduated from high school. So there you go. teach us.
We have a new girl working for us, and I call her post 9/11 because she was born after 9/11. I'm like, "What's up, post 9/11?" She's like, "Are you gonna call me that forever?" I'm like, "Yep, I am." Good.
Catchy, good ring.
I'm the old guy in the office now. Like, I sit back and I our secretary, you know, she's been with us forever. I'm like, "We're the old people in the office. We're like," and we start naming all the old people. She goes, "Yes, we are." I'm like, "I just never thought I'd be that way."
Yeah, you know, you just kind of embrace it.
Yeah.
Well, so one of my stories, I guess, when I first started POTA, which was, I got back into the hobby around, you know, a little bit before COVID, or just right at the edge. And so once I got my general, I was like, "All right, I'm going out to do POTA," learned out about it. And I was like, "All right, I got my bioeno battery. I got my PowerWorks meter. I'm the cool guy," because I've watched all the YouTubers out there, and all of them are like, "You got to get this. You got to have this. And this is your setup," and blah, blah, blah. So I had the 891. I had the setup. So I go out in the field, and of course, my one bit of wise advice that I'm going to throw out to everybody is, before you go out, hook all your equipment up, figure out how it all works, play with it. You know, don't go out and do an activation before you set your radio up and learn how to connect everything up. Well, me and my stupidity didn't bother to take a look at the PowerWorks meter and notice that one side says load, the other side says battery. So I hooked that up backwards. And so in my rush to rehook it back up, I don't know how I did it, but somehow I flipped the power pole over, so it was, instead of red to red, black to black, it was red and black reversed. And so I plugged that back into the battery, and then as I was about to plug in the battery or the PowerWorks meter into the radio, this arc had jumped. Me and electricity just don't apparently work well. Arced across the power pole and suck the power pole into, you know, the connector. And at that point I was like, "Holy crap," because I didn't turn the radio on. I'm like, "Did I just fry everything I bought at this point?" And I hadn't even turned the radio on. And I'm just like, my heart's like, I literally
fused the connector the wrong way.
And so I couldn't break it apart. It wouldn't come apart. You'd think it would, but it fused itself just right that the two metal contacts just bonded. And so I had to take a knife I had to cut the end off of it. And you obviously know when you put metal to metal, when you're trying to cut the powers, the positive side. So I'm cutting the end off. This is just a comedy of errors. So that was my first failed of activation and one that I'll always remember. But I had cut the end off of it just to separate the battery from it, because I wouldn't even turn the radio on. I was like, oh, please don't just, please don't let this A91 catch, you know, basically any heat from this. And thank God, knock on wood, it wasn't on, so I didn't have to worry about it. But yeah, I ended up blowing up a PowerWorks meter. And at that point, I almost cooked my radio even before I got a chance to make one contact. So yes, I've
well, bravo that. For not frying the radio.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
The ham radio gods were on looking out for him that day.
Oh man, they knew at the very first time it would be one of those things.
That's some, yeah. It's some good advice. You remember when I did my I got my Buddy Pole Pro, and I never took it out of the box or anything, and I go to do it to a park, and
oh yes, I remember that.
And I'm like, dude, this ain't working. Like, what am I doing wrong? And I'm like on the phone. I'm like, something's wrong. It's not working.
The long tech support. Did you extend the pole? Did you use you attach the coil? Did you use that little thing, that a little blue wire with all of the links in there? No. Oh, I forgot that, you know, and then you'd run it out and extend it out. Did you hook up your coax, Todd? Did you forget your coax?
Huge mistake. You should have done it before.
You activated the park, man. You got one step further than I did.
Well, yeah. Once you helped me figure out what I was doing wrong, and I was like, oh crap. But yeah, that was it's a good point. Definitely test out your stuff at home. It'll make your life a lot easier in the field, I guess.
You'll be able to make contacts at least. All right. Well, Paul, you got one you want to throw in the ring, or I got another one here.
Well, no, but I will tell you that I definitely learned doing my first soda that you should always bring a second antenna.
Do tell, Paul. Do tell.
Now, listen, you know, in all fairness, the Reliance EnFit Half-Wave is 100% a fantastic antenna, and I love it. But I had probably well overworked it, Support Your Parks weekend. Mm-hmm. And I had to change the capacitor that's in the transformer, because it had heated up enough that it broke the solder connection.
Oh wow!
And so yeah, so that's why I wasn't getting I wasn't really getting anywhere on my first summit, because I was like, this is weird. I'm running a 3-to-1 SWR on 20 meters. Like, this antenna doesn't do that. Like, I. Yeah, no, I took it all apart the other day, and I was like, oh, shit.
Well.
But I do have another one on its way, so thanks, Matt, for that. Really appreciate it.
Cool. Well, those that don't know what antenna we're talking about, it's the Reliance EnFit antenna, the bug out. We're all big fans of it. We all have copies of it and love that antenna. And if you want to save some money and you want to head over to his website, go over to RelianceAntenna.com. Paul, if you want to throw the link in the chat there for folks, you can use my call sign N1JUR, yep, or you can use Live Free and Ham, get 10% off and free shipping, you know, all on us, you know, great antenna. You will be very pleasantly surprised and happy with it. I love them. In fact, if I did my activation, and one of the things I was going to share, and I might touch on, was my activation I had done over Support Your Parks weekend on Sunday. I was going to test out my FX4CR, and I think I shared on another episode where I brought it out and got it all set up and didn't have a throw weight, so I had to use my water bottle to get the antenna up over the tree, blah blah blah. I literally got it in to the point where I'm ready to hook up the transformer and the coax to the transformer, and I realized that the transformer I had inside was for the dipole version, and I'm running an EnFed wire. So I literally threw up 66 feet of wire up in a tree, ran all the extensions, hooked it all up, and then I tried to hook it up to a dipole transformer, and it's like, that's not freaking gonna work. I was hoping I could get, you know, maybe a 2-to-1. No, that the SWR was like 4-to-5-to-1. I was like, there's no way. There's no way. Even if I like tried to throw a little bit of a, you know, cheap like little line off the other end, it wouldn't have, you know, done anything. So I had to pack all of it up, tuck my tail, head back to my car, and use my 891 in the truck.
Well, at least you had a backup to your plan. So
yeah, I guess so. That save, at least a bit of a save. But then that's, you know, of course, then I hop on the air, and that's when I had a lid constantly sitting on a frequency, just yelling at Boy Scouts over and over again, you know, profanities and and bad things. So yeah, that just really didn't help the whole process. But anyway.
My favorite is when they play the Windows noises.
Oh yes.
I always love hearing the Windows noises.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, that's always fun, especially when you're in the middle of a transmission with them. It's like trying to complete the last send there. Thanks for letting me know you just got an email. I appreciate it.
You've got mail.
Yeah, imagine those sounds play over there.
I think what bothers me the most is like when you're in a pile up and you get more and more people and they decide to tune up right on you. So you hear that bee. It's like, and then you know, right? And you know the guy is, because I'll call him out. I'll be like, you'll hear like this new station coming, like, and you'll call him like, did you just tune up on me?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sorry. I was trying to make sure my antenna was right. I'm like, just go to a different frequency and do it and come back.
Yeah. Well, that's when the park rangers come and yell at you.
Yeah.
Junior park rangers.
So Tim, I see Tim in the chat, KC1QDK. But when we were at Support Your Parks weekend, we were, our campsites were like within line of sight of one another. And, Saturday morning at like 9 o'clock in the morning, right? So like quiet time ended at 7. It's 9 o'clock now, and I'm hammering 10 meters. 10 meters, booming. I'm going. I'm having tons of fun. And, the park ranger came around to yell at us because some ham radio operator was on their radio at 7 a.m.
We won't take
it. Apparently somebody was tuning up on the frequency, and so it was emitting that god awful tone that we all hate. And it's like, listen, lady, you know, one, I didn't get up till 8:30. I know Tim didn't get up till 8:30, so it wasn't us. Yep. Like, whoever you're mad at, it wasn't us. But yeah, we also hate people who tune up right on top of our frequency. Mm-hmm. Like,
nevertheless, she's not a big fan of caution tape. And if I had the photo, I could show you exactly how much caution tape Tim used. He is very good about safety, and I can't fault him for that. But in essence, if you're a park ranger and you're walking by a field, what the hell is my Zoom doing? What's going on? Love this freaking technology. So I've got some latest news I have to tell you right now.
Someone hacked in his controls.
Freaking A. Yep, there we go, guys. Anyway, so that just frames out the whole entire thing there. So he had set up caution tape around all of his antennas, and I like he was wondering why. You know, I mean, obviously he knew. He was able to, you know, help diffuse the situation. Long story short, did a great job of it. But when I pulled in, all I see is this like caution tape around this whole giant field, and I'm like, well, that explains why they obviously noticed. They probably wouldn't have seen your antennas in the field. It was like this big giant caution tape outlining a whole entire like crime scene. So it was like, hey, what's going on here? Are they doing, you know, seances and murders in the middle of this recreational field? Oh, man. But yeah, hey, we live and learn, right?
It's pretty funny.
Oh, cool. Well, one other thing. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say in response to Mike there, 7,200 is good, but 14,300 is better.
Better frequency to talk on. They all love you over there. Yeah, my advice, if you're looking for a conversation on, Halloween night, 14,300 is definitely the place to go. Yeah, you're looking for a good rag chew. I actually had a really good ham radio, we'll say, life when I was younger. One of the things that I share a lot sometimes, but you know, this kind of is apropos for Halloween coming up. I was, as you could probably guess, one of those kids that was either in the computer lab or in the ham radio room in high school. So I wasn't the popular crew. I played baseball, but that was about the extent of my sports career. And so long story short, on Halloween night, our local club in town where I grew up would do what they call pumpkin patrol. And it was a bunch of hams. They'd all get in their car and they'd all have their radios or mobile rigs or whatever. And they'd drive around town during Halloween night. And their job was obviously to report back to the police station that, you know, it was, there's some nefarious stuff going on. And then the police would be dispatched for that because they had a really good relationship with the local police department in town. Actually, I think the chief of police growing up was an actual ham himself.
So they were coming after the like me and my buddies.
Probably. Like, we were very much chasing you down, you know.
So I grew up in New Jersey, and we have a thing called, they call it Cabbage Night or Goosey Night. And it's like basically the night before Halloween. You go out and like toilet paper the trees, you know, do just crazy shit. And, you know, some people took it to the extent of throwing eggs. I never did that. I did shaving cream and
mischief and mayhem.
Yeah, Mike might know that. I don't know if they do it in upstate New York, but they definitely did it down there. And yeah, you know, you'd wake up in the morning, there'd just be like rolls of like toilet paper hanging in the trees, looking like ghosts or whatever. And you know, it's just kind of fun. But yeah, the best part of it was like you'd be doing stuff and like you'd be toilet paper in someone's front yard, and then you ding dong ditch them, and people would get mad, and the cops would be chasing after us, and we'd be running, and you got like a backpack of toilet paper and shaving cream.
See, I was the opposite of that, Todd. I had an HT in my hand, and I was in the car driving around with older adults all reporting those mischief makers to the police. I was one of the popular kids in school. I guarantee it. If they knew I was in the vehicle, you know, reporting them, yeah, because I knew where, because I had, well, let's just say I had the intel because I knew what was going to be going on because it was already being planned in school. Because, I mean, I had a graduating class of like 300 people, so a lot of people talked, and you could easily know. And so, yeah,
for me, it was like, it's Mike, I'm with Team Todd.
Of course you are, Mike.
Well, for me, it was like a rite of passage, right? Yeah. You couldn't wait to get old enough to be go out. So like one year I wanted to go out. It was like the first year. My parents were like, nope, you're not going out. You're not going out. So I got pissed and I toilet papered and shaving creamed my bathroom, the bathroom, like for the guests, like the downstairs bathroom, like that everyone would use, like if you're having a party or whatever. And they didn't know. And then they opened it like, what the hell? Things filled with toilet paper, shaving cream all over the walls.
I prefer, you know, helper of, you know, self-society. You know, I don't know. I could come up with a better title for that, but.
Yeah, you know, fun.
Yeah, oh, trust me, dude, that was the fun part. Like, I didn't have to worry about it, but it was always fun to, like, you know, because what they would do would be is that they would hang around in the dark. So we'd be sitting in the back of a car while the teenagers were causing their problems, waiting for the police to show up. And then the police would kind of roll up quietly. And because we'd be radioing back to the school, back to the police station, hey, you know, this is where they are. This is where they've moved to. So we were literally doing play by play. It was like a football game, you know, for nerds. And so we literally just went through this process of like telling them what's going on.
There goes that W1STJ guy running through the football field.
Exactly.
North.
Oh man, it was, you know, it was a blast, dude. I enjoyed doing it. I like I said, I framed it out very early on. I wasn't the popular crowd. I just hung around the computer lab in the electronics shop when we had one.
Yeah,
when I was a teenager, right? So I got arrested my freshman year for I was smoking in the weight room in the school.
Oh, geez.
And the weight room was above the gym. And they had this old ventilation machine. And, you know, of course, like, you know, kids would take their snack trash, like their little paper plates and Pop-Tart wrappers and whatever. And they just throw it in this old ventilation machine. And so when the gym teacher was coming, this old geezer, man, I could have done so many other things with the cigarette, but I flicked it into the machine.
Oh, no.
And of course, it caught all that trash on fire. So long story short, sophomore year, I was in the Police Explorer program. And let me tell you that even though we did security and stuff for the Halloween festivities, not once was I ever a narc.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, like I said, this is a circle of trust, my
friends. I was the kid dressed up like a little cop, you know, and I was like, yeah, I didn't see nothing. I don't know what you're talking about.
So you were the cop that Whitey Bulger would be friends with. Yeah, we'll talk to Paul. He's good. He saw nothing. Yeah. So this will go like, so when I was in high school, like you were allowed to smoke outside in front of the school, even if you were like a kid. So like the teachers and the, you know, we called them the burnouts, would sit out there and smoke their butts. And every time the bell rang, they'd run outside, everyone smoked their butts and go back in. And that was just normal. So like you didn't have to hide in the bathroom or anything like nowadays. Like now it's not even smoking. Now everyone does vapes. You know, that's the biggest thing. Like everyone's vaping in school. They've even got like vape detectors in the bathrooms of the schools that they can pick up like a vape. I don't know how they do it, but whatever is in a vape, they can pick it up and it alerts the SRO and they can go down there. But all the kids are doing it. They're doing it in class. They're doing it in the halls. It's like, it's stupid. It's a losing battle. If you're going to be the guy going, it's a losing battle. So,
well, it is, but in essence, at the same time, you know, now that I've been labeled as a narc, I don't know if
you openly admitted to it.
I framed it out the way I possibly best could, you know, where I wasn't going to get, you know, basically still keep my cool status, but that obviously was never in play or in check. But I have a lot of great stories with ham radio that, you know, kind of follow along the similar same lines. You know, to be truthfully honest, I was a Boy Scout. So if anybody, you know, has been a Boy Scout, you know that a lot of us, the only thing we're really good at is whittling wood and setting fires. So, you know, 9 times out of 10.
And sewing leather wallets.
I left that to the girly girls. But, you know, that's where I'm at. I was more about like, hey, how many pocket knives can I have? And each one of those is like, you know, that one goes to 11. Don't touch that one, you know, kind of thing. But yeah, I always had in my ham radio with me. I was definitely one of those kids that, you know, was not in the cool pocket. So we go to Boy Scout camp and I would have my ham. My brother would have his. And, you know, we were the only two guys that probably out of maybe four others that were hams in our, you know, Boy Scouts that were very much, you know, carrying around radios. But, you know, we were the cool ones because we'd sneak out at night and we'd be able to radio to each other at Boy Scout camp. And, you know, we'd be like, you know, so-and-so's, you know, trying to track us down, you know, you got to get out of the area or whatever. And so we spend a lot of time just radioing back and forth. So yeah.
Thinking that thing's blasting and the guy can hear you. Oh, they're over in the behind the bush again.
I know, right? Damn it. Turn your radio down. I can hear you halfway around the park. Oh man. Well, so, you know, those may be some scary moments. I don't know, but either way, I think it's pretty good on a Halloween night to kind of share some of this stuff or Halloween Eve night. You know, anything else you guys want to throw in stories just so you can, you know, make people forget my story. So, you know, it's long forgotten. No,
yeah, I'm just hoping that Halloween night that we have clear weather
mm-hmm.
because while, you know, I always go all out in the front yard and I do all kinds of like animatronics and, you know, I'll do that again this year. I'll put the fog machine out and everything and I'll make it all spooky. But I like to go around the neighborhood and see what everybody else is doing and, of course, do some trick-or-treating myself. So I'm looking forward to hopefully some good weather so that I can go around the neighborhood and, you know, do some trick-or-treating.
Yeah, I lived in a condo association and they had trick-or-treatings and then for the adults they had nips.
Oh, yeah.
So the kids would get the candy, jello shots and you'd go around and that was fun. But yeah, cool. Well, our town, I don't know if you guys have ever been there, but our town, I saw like in smoking glass, our town Amherst has down at the village, they do an enormous Halloween trick-or-treating. And I mean, it's thousands of people in that little area. You guys have been to the village in Amherst?
Yeah.
The little.
Yeah. They usually have that little Christmas.
Those neighborhoods, they have. I mean, we have to budget into our town budget money for Halloween candy for the people that live there because there's so many people go. Like, wow. Seriously. And then, like, the Moultons will have, like, a box, like, donate Halloween candy for the people that live there. If you want to do trick-or-treating and you want to be part of the village and you don't live in the village, you can, like, rent a door in the field or in the park. I mean, there's just, it's crazy. Sometimes they have, like, one time they had a haunted house and they had the high school kids who were in the drama do the haunted house and they had like the top floor of the barn was like kind of cool for like little kids and then the downstairs was like the scary part and they had the dread they'd come and touch you and grab you and they'd spray shit on you and my oldest was a little kid and he went down to the first one and his friend was in front of him. This guy comes out and scares him. He just starts bawling and runs away and my son Tyler's like, I'm like, you still, you want to go? He goes, yeah, let's go. So he goes down and He gets out of the barn. We're done. And it was it was done so well. It was something like I felt like you could have paid for, like, you know, how they have the haunted house. Like, it was that well done, the decorations, the way they did it. Sure. And so, I don't know, he was probably like 6 or 7. He was like a little kid. And he's like, that wasn't so bad. Then out of the blue comes a guy like, I don't know, like guy from Friday the 13th, Michael Myers, with a chainsaw. Chase him. He chased him all the way around the barn into the barn. He goes, that was scary. That was really scary. So I don't know if those people left or whatever, but that was like one of our first years going, and I was impressed with it. But I'll tell you, I avoid that place like the plague now, because it is insane. There's just thousands of kids, and people come from all over. It's not just like Amherst kids. There's kids from every town, Manchester. It's crazy.
Yep. So I might be narkish, but we have our president in our club. Tim was saying he gives out full size candy bars with the caveat that if you are a ham, he's going to ask you an extra question. So you can't go there either, Todd, unless you know he's going to pull from the question pool, you know, that you've studied. Listen,
he's not an extra. What the hell is he talking about? Maybe he should do it.
Tim isn't, but Bill, WNWRA, is.
Oh, so, Bill's doing it?
Yeah.
Oh, Bill's doing is that. Giving. Oh.
Yeah. He's giving out full size candy bars if you can answer an extra question. Now, you know.
Well, you know what? Maybe we should go to Bill's house, because I bet you I get a candy bar and you don't, even though you're probably an extra.
There we go. There's the bet. Cool. Well, you know, it sounds like fun. You know, we definitely, I try to keep it low key. I usually don't do much. Now kids are a lot older. I know, Paul, you definitely said you got a good setup there in your front yard. I used to do a lot of that kind of stuff, but you know, getting older, I'm running out of places to store the shit and can't figure out, you know. I now have the argument with my wife, is like, do you want to get candy? Do you want to get candy? And we just argue back and forth. And finally, when someone caves, someone will get candy. And then that person gets candy, has the door duty, because it's like, we live in a cul-de-sac. So you have two, like, it's a popular place, like Todd was saying. It's sort of like the village. It's like 200 units. So, you know, everybody from every neighborhood in the entire Merrimack all head over here, and you know, we just get kids for like 2.5 hours, and then, you know,
because you're all close. It's like the kids, it's not lazy. About trick. It's like how much candy can I get, you know, out of, you know, for the amount of time. Like when I was a kid, like trick or treating went from the minute you got out of school until like people stopped answering the doors. Like we'd be at 10 o'clock at night on people's doors. Like at least now it's like, okay, you have like from 6 to 8.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. It was dark for me.
Dark, it was crazy.
Stayed dark.
I did one year. I did, I dressed up as like a scarecrow and I had a bowl of candy and I just like sat it there and I just sat in the chair. So I looked like a scarecrow and I didn't move. And then if the kids would like, it'd say, take one. And if I see a kid grab it, I'm like, hey, the kids are like freak out.
It's crazy. All right, guys, well, we should kind of wrap this up, but it's been great to have everybody here, and we appreciate everybody that's been hanging out here in the chat. And just to kind of go through, we saw Tim in there, KC1, QDK, and Bob, and I definitely saw Mike in there earlier. He's probably still hanging and looming out in the background. Cornbread, and I got a few others here.
Chris and Andy.
Yeah, well, we appreciate all you guys hanging out with us. You know, this is kind of one of those usual scheduled, you know, live streams, but you know, it's just been a freaking busy week and crazy, and technical difficulties have been plaguing us left and right. So we're glad we're here, and Mike is still here. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it. You know,
and let's all head over to Bill's house tomorrow and study for your extra tonight and get a full size candy bar.
Exactly, man. You heard it here first. So all right, well, let's kind of wrap things up. Well, you know, if you haven't subscribed to our channel, you know, and you aren't a part of our Live Free and Ham community, you can always head over to livefreeandham.com. Click the Discord link down in the bottom of the page there to come join, be part of the community there. And as always, you can support our show in a number of different ways. And obviously, that's through our reviews. We definitely have our Do Good segment. So if you've got something that you've been doing with your club, or you've been doing with a bunch of other guys and gals, a POTA event or whatever, and you've had a great story, please share it with us. Head over to our website. You can go to livefreeandham.com/do good, fill out the form. And if, like we said in the past on every episode, and we're going to keep saying it, if you're one of those go-getters, send us a win link email and you can come out and hang out with us on our next live stream show. You know, how cool is that? And you can share your story and you know, hang out with us, you know, old guys here.
I'm guessing that's going to be the Thanksgiving.
That'll probably be the Thanksgiving episode.
I'm ready in Thanksgiving.
Well, there you go, Mike. You know, quick healing there. So, so you can always use our SMS link too as well. So if you want to leave us a review there and you want to let us know how good, bad, or indifferent our show is, or whether or not, you know, we need to, clear my name and no longer make my narc, let us know. You know, email us at livefreeandham@gmail.com or use our website to send us notes. And like we mentioned earlier in the show, if you want to get on the inside and you want to hear early release of our podcasts, and you know, when we do our lives or when we do our shows, we record that in the raw format and you get to hear all of the back stuff in the back channels. You know, you can subscribe to our Patreon, as all that information is up there and available for you to check out and be part of and be on the in crowd. And otherwise, you know, subscribe to our podcast. You know, we release every 2 weeks, and we'd love to have you be part of the community. And thanks again. And as always, we appreciate you all listening. And with that, I'm going to say 7-3.
Happy Halloween.
7-3.